The Source Podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPonte.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. SA 2020 defines affordable housing as accommodations that do not cost more than 30% of the household's income. But for a growing number of San Antonio families, that's out of reach. Amid mounting concerns over the cost and access to housing, how can organizations and citizens work together to make stable housing a reality for all San Antonio families? What is happening to affordable housing? What does a community-driven solution look like, and can we get there? Lots of ways for you to join our conversation. You can call in. The number is 210-614-8980. We want to know what you're seeing in your neighborhood, and what are your concerns? What worries do you have about your housing future? Call in. The number is 210-614-8980. And you can also email your questions and comments to thesource at tpr.org. Tweet at us at tprsource. Our guest this hour, we're joined with Molly Cox, President and CEO of SA 2020. Molly, welcome to The Source.
Thank you so much. Thanks for always having us here.
Stephanie Weiss is here. She's the Vice President of Development and Communications for Habitat for Humanity San Antonio. Stephanie, hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
And Navarro Williams is here. He's the President and CEO of SAM Ministries. Mr. Williams, Navarro, how are you doing?
Navarro, please. I'm doing great. Thanks.
All right. So Molly Cox, to start us off, tell us what snapshot you have with SA 2020 and your impact report for affordable housing in San Antonio.
Yeah, thank you so much. You always do such a great job of like a deep dive into sort of the most complex challenges our community is having. And when we released our impact report in January, we had sort of highlighted five very clear complex challenges. We've walked through three of them with you already, and the next one's going to be affordable housing, which is what we're talking about now. One in five homeowners cannot afford their home in San Antonio, Texas. 50% of renters cannot. When we're looking at this 30% threshold. And then what we also know, based on the fact that we are one of our goals in San Antonio is to decrease the housing cost burden, the fact that we are not decreasing it, in fact, it's remaining flat and becoming worse, that's the biggest challenge. And there's both long-term sort of upstream and downstream challenges with housing, right? Because it affects economic development and education, neighborhood connectivity, transportation, poverty, and in our city that is number one in the United States is income segregated. You never want to be number one on that kind of thing, and that's where we hit the top of the lists. Housing is a challenge for us right now, and we've seen some serious conversations occur over the course of the last couple of years, particularly as it related to the Mayor's Housing Policy Task Force and then the recommendations that came out of there. And our local city government spent upped housing to $25 million worth of their fiscal year budgeting, and I think we're finally starting to talk about it in a way that makes sense. But also, housing is hard, right? Like there's so many complex policies and what it means and what it leads to and what's a market and how does development work. And I think because it's so difficult, we have a hard time coming up with solutions that are clear for everyone.
Right. So you say one in five people in San Antonio cannot afford their home.
Yep.
What does that mean?
So one in five homeowners is burdened by cost, meaning they're spending more than 30% of their household income on their housing.
So they're spending more than you would think that they ought to.
Yeah. If affordable housing is defined as housing that does not cost more than 30% of your household income, and we're not just saying your rent or your mortgage, right? That's electricity, it's your water bills, right? Those types of things that go into your housing. If that's what we're calling affordable housing, and that's sort of the general number is 30% across the board, then that's our challenge. One in five homeowners are burdened by costs. One in two renters are burdened by cost.
Do we have a number on how many people are being driven out of their homes?
You're talking displacement.
Yeah.
You know, we actually broke down, and I don't have the exact number, but what we did break down is the idea around our city council indicators. So we went into each city council district to look at subsidized housing, housing cost burden, occupied units by status, and residential vacancy rates in each of our city council districts, as well as the city of San Antonio in our latest report. And what we're seeing is that it's not so much that we are seeing displacement. We are also seeing that we can't track necessarily if somebody gets displaced, are they displaced and then moving inside their own district or moving out, which is what we're starting to see, is that Bexar County is starting to take in people who start to make more money, end up moving out of San Antonio into Bexar County.
So people who are displaced, is that where you come into the picture, Navarro Williams, with the SAM Ministries?
Well, yes, if they become homeless, then they're likely to be somewhat involved with SAM Ministries. A lot of folks that become homeless, they'll go to either Haven for Hope or Salvation Army, which are shelters. And through a community process, we are giving certain clients to us. It's called coordinated entry. And what they're trying to do is take the most vulnerable households and let them get to the particular organization that can help them best. So we have several different programs that help folks that are homeless. We actually try to prevent homelessness. That's the big thing that we've done over the years. Since we started that in 2008, we've helped 25,000 people, including 15,000 children, remain in their homes. We monitor them over an 18-month period, and over that period, 97% to 98% of those folks stay housed. So that is a big way, and really the best cost-effective way of dealing with homelessness, but funds for that particular program have dried up. If you remember 2008, the federal government came out with $1 billion for this kind of housing across the entire country. But those funds are no longer invested that way. They're investing now in something else that SAM Ministries does, which is called permanent supportive housing.
But Navarro, are you seeing from your desk as the CEO and president of SAM Ministries, people showing up and saying, I got displaced. I could no longer afford where I was living. The rent was raised, or mm-hmm. my building got sold, things, and I have no place to go.
Well, yes, they used to do that. But now, if all of the organizations that get any federal funds from the Department of Housing and Urban Development have to use the coordinated entry process. So you can no longer come to SAM Ministries Transitional Living and Learning Center on Blanco Road and say, gee, I'd like to get into this program. There's basically an assessment test that basically raises the most vulnerable to the top of the list of any kind of housing, our transitional housing or our permanent supportive housing program, so forth and so on. The folks that are most vulnerable get the opportunity to come to those programs now.
Sure, but are you seeing that San Antonio, we're on the cusp of a crisis, if we're not already in one?
Oh, we absolutely are. Within the coordinated entry structure, there is probably 2,500 other persons or families that don't have a place to go yet.
And what happens?
So basically, they're in the shelters. Some of them are on the streets. Some of them are in encampments. And we do a certain amount of outreach in all of those areas. But in order to get the clients to our programs, they have to go through that coordinated entry process.
All right, we'll be talking more about that as we talk about San Antonio's affordable housing. We're going to hear from Habitat for Humanity and their view about affordable housing in San Antonio and how they advocate for the people who are living in this crunch. If you've got a question or a comment, give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. What are you seeing in the streets, in your neighborhoods? This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. We're talking about housing, affordable housing in San Antonio. We've got a statement from the San Antonio Housing Authority. A SAHA delegation at this very hour is on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., urging lawmakers to fully fund HUD and support affordable housing in San Antonio in the fiscal year 2020. The White House budget reduces and even completely eliminates funding for programs like housing vouchers for homeless veterans. The White House budget also completely eliminates funding to the Public Housing Capital Fund, which helps housing authorities like Saha to modernize its public housing communities. San Antonians deserve safe and decent housing, and Saha will do all it can to advocate for residents and increase the affordable housing stock in the city. And that is a statement from the San Antonio Housing Authority. We've got a question or a comment. Call in. The number is 210-614-8980 as we talk about San Antonio's housing crunch. Stephanie Weiss is with us. She's the Vice President of Habitat for Humanity San Antonio. And people are familiar. Everyone knows Habitat for Humanity. President, former President Jimmy Carter swings a hammer for you guys. But you guys do more than just, you know, build homes for individuals and families and people who are part. You're also part of the conversation, helping to look out for the people who are hammered by the rising cost of housing, right?
Absolutely. As you know, affordable housing is such a need in San Antonio. Habitat's been here for about 43 years. We've now built 1,092 homes in San Antonio. We're one of the largest affiliates in the country. So we absolutely are at the table in terms of trying to find solutions for everyone to be a part of it.
Well, what are you seeing? How are you part of the conversation? What kind of role do you take?
Sure. Foremost, we build houses. We get the community involved in doing that. Habitat worked last year with about 15,500 volunteers. Those are folks that are members of the community, that are businesses, churches, part of the city and county. Individuals, folks like you and me, have gone out, helped build houses. They work directly with the families. They fundraise. They take that message back to their communities, to where they work and live, and spread the word that there really is, I think, an affordable housing crisis in San Antonio. There's a need for affordable housing. Habitat works with families that are between 20 and 80% of area median income. I saw a family last year, they moved 17 times when their kids were young. That's a crisis. So we really try to build houses, but we also really try to get the word out in the community that there are some very hardworking families, that homeownership's the right answer for them, but they really just need a hand up and not a hand out.
With Habitat for Humanity, I mean, building houses is great, but you can only build so many houses, and we have a crisis, is mm-hmm. how you describe it. What we need is policies, and Habitat for Humanity has been involved in talking to the city council about how what they are and what they aren't doing, how that impacts working families, fees. When you guys build a house, you're able to get fees waived. Not everyone is able to do that because you're a nonprofit. There are dollars and cents issues that you guys are able to articulate.
Absolutely. And we work real closely with both the city and the county on those issues. I think we are, over the last couple of years, really starting to bump the scale to make some of those incentives work.
Okay, let's go to some callers. Number is 210-614-8980. Eric is on the line. And Eric, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi,
Eric.
Hi. How are you?
Doing good.
Great
go
to
ahead.
Be here. I just want to talk a little bit about, I'm the director for the Neighborhood Assistance Program here in San Antonio, and we work with citizens on a daily basis, and we see the struggles. In our program, what we do here is help educate. It's about 95% education, and help people understand what it takes to become a homeowner, not only, you know, just to purchase a home, but everything that goes into getting ready to purchase a home and become financially fit.
And how's that working out?
It's definitely a good program. We got people in, but what's difficult and what's hard is that it's difficult to help citizens understand what it takes to be financially ready to not only purchase a home, but then maintain that home over the 30 years. And what we do here at NACA is we remove those barriers to home ownership. So not only do we provide the education, but with our partner Bank of America, we provide a mortgage with no down payment, no PMI, no closing costs. And those are not hidden or rolled into the loan later. We actually do those to remove those barriers for home ownership.
All right, Eric, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. So Molly Cox, President and CEO of SA 2020, Eric and the Neighborhood Assistance Association of America. Another method, another way to deal with this?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's no clear solution, right? There's not one thing that we're going to do in order to fix a housing crunch or a housing crisis, right? It takes nonprofit organizations who are working in multiple different facets. It takes policymakers, both locally and federally, as Saha just showed us, right? It's going to take individuals also having conversations and continuing to elevate housing as a challenge. COPS Metro recently showed us that if you show up and talk to your council people and say, we cannot wait, something changes, right? That $1 million mitigation displacement fund that just came out of City Council was because they were basically, COPS Metro showed up and said, we cannot wait any longer. Like, we need help right now. Yes, fine, study it, but study it while you're also helping people who are being displaced. You saw over 500 human beings participate in the Mayor's Housing Policy Task Force, being able to look at the idea that our housing costs are increasing exponentially in comparison to our actual incomes, which have not been increasing at the same rate. So we have a shortage of housing units, 32,000 housing units for people who are making minimum wage right now. That's a shortage. So you have somebody like Habitat for Humanity who's pumping out 1,000 homes, right? And still 32,000 homes are missing for people who need them today.
Yeah, just not exactly. You know, it's not a drop in the bucket, but it's not, you know, fully dealing with the situation. You know, it's the situation's beyond what Habitat for Humanity can do. You're not here to solve the entirety of the issue. That's got to be the wholeness of the community to come together and come up with policies, right? Yeah.
Absolutely. Habitat is just one piece of the puzzle. We are helping very low-income families be able to afford and own a home. We're providing that homeowner education piece, and we're getting folks out of overcrowded situations. We're getting them out of physically deficient housing situations. But yes, we're only one piece of the puzzle, but we are a nonprofit, so we're limited by our funds.
As we all
have that experience, right?
Yeah. Let me get another caller. This is Denton. Hi, Denton. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, yeah. I just kind of want to speak about my experience because I make a very low income, and I spent some time. I live alone. I don't have a family. So when for a while I lived in Austin, and when I lived in Austin, I found it so much easier to find affordable housing programs. You know, there were city subsidies. There were many different buildings and apartment complexes that provided low income subsidies. It made it so much easier for me to afford my rent, but when I came to San Antonio to be closer to my extended family, I couldn't find any of that, and I just can't find a place to live because the rent is just significantly more expensive. And when I talk to, you know, agents, they demand that I have three times the rent and income, which I just don't. And I tell them I don't. They just say, I'm sorry, we can't work with you. And it's just so difficult. No matter where I look, I just can't find anything. It's become such a huge problem.
All right, Denton, thanks for bringing that to us. Well, he brings up the point, okay, other cities have been dealing with this for a long time. Austin's been dealing with affordable housing shortages for a long time. Mm-hmm. So they've come up with solutions. Now San Antonio, it's come here, and we're having to do all these studies and groups and meetings as if this is the first time anyone has ever heard of something like this. Mm-hmm. Why can't we just take solutions that have been developed in other cities like Austin, in Seattle, all over the country, and just, you know, and cherry pick what has worked?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I agree with you. I think we should be looking at best practices. And quite frankly, there isn't a best practice. That's the challenge, right? Every single city is having this challenge, and yet no one's figured out the way in which we could make this work so that we could just hand the playbook over to another city. And in fact, I kid you not, the Mayor's Housing Policy Task Force and the recommendations that they put together are now being looked at by other cities as, oh, these recommendations are actually incredibly smart. They could be a best practice for us. You know, just to kind of piggyback, I understand the idea of not being able to find resources. I just want to say a website, sanantonio.gov/NHSD/risk-mitigation is where you can find the new risk mitigation policy online.
And we'll have that link on our website.
Which is perfect. And then also, it gives you also people that you can call directly at the City of San Antonio to find in their neighborhoods housing departments that can help you also in this space.
So Navarro Williams, yep. President and CEO of SAM Ministries, you told us earlier that there's a certain process that people have to go through and because the limitations and the structure. But do people ever just call up and say, I need help? And
yes.
can they get help just like that?
Yes, it's difficult. So we still have a little bit of homeless prevention going on. However, back in the day, you know, we had millions of dollars to keep people in their homes. And the way we do that, I mean, the cost was maybe $750 per family. We'd monitor them, as I said, for 18 months, and 97-98% of them just needed that one-time help. So those funds are gone, and we basically have to limit, you know, our resources to 20 calls a week or something like that, and we get 200 calls a week for homeless prevention. So the resources are just not there. But I can tell you one of the ways that the Department of Housing and Urban Development did step up is with permanent supportive housing. These are the folks that you will see in encampments. These are the folks you'll see with the shopping carts downtown and so forth and so on. If you can get them stabilized from either their drugs or their alcoholism or so forth, whatever issue that they're having that's keeping them that kind of homelessness, maybe the worst kind of homelessness, then it makes a difference. So today, SAM Ministries has about 175 units of that kind of housing. So that's 175 people or families that are off the street that are now able to stay in housing and live by the rules through medication, through treatment, and through other programs.
But we're dealing with this, a particular category of people who are homeless. These are people who they work. They're basically stable individuals. They're family units. They just can't find a place that they can afford to live.
Right.
You know, there's lots of types of homelessness, as you're well mm-hmm. aware of. These are people that, you know, if we invest in them, they're ready to. They're already members of society and doing their part. It's mm-hmm. just that somehow they got cut out.
Right. And there's another program we have, our transitional housing program, that does give a family up to 2 years to get themselves back to self-sufficiency. And that program has a lot of resources. We focus on the children. We focus on the children's educations and health and wellness. We focus on the issues that got the adults in that particular problems. I would say 80% of our clients are single women and children. And they essentially now are graduating at about, it used to be 24 months, but now it's about 16 months because we have a lot more clinical support than we had in the past dealing with those specific and tough issues. And it's helping the families continue to go. We actually are about to launch our first child care option, which will allow, again, the children, the moms to go out to work, look for jobs, and so forth and so on. And then also we're going to be connecting that to a pre-K-4 program.
And there are high school kids who are involved in the program, and you've been able to show that their graduation rate from high school is higher than the local average, right?
Right? The average for the state of Texas is something in the 38% range for high school seniors. And our high school seniors are between 96 to 100% graduate.
And that's because of why?
That's because of all the resource we put in and the attention that they receive in terms of any help, support. Even volunteers will come in and help support a child that's trying to learn calculus. You know, we find people in the community that can help those students with the level of need that they need.
The Texas Homeless Education Office, just to stay on the high school graduation or high school students, is showing that Bexar County homeless students has grown from 2010 to 2016 from about 7,000 to a little over 9,000 now. So we are like seeing displacement happening. And so programs like what Navarro is describing is incredibly important.
And if we don't deal with that and provide some support, then these kids will miss out on the most important years of their life of getting that education foundation, and that'll haunt them forever, and then the problems will just continue. We're talking about homelessness here in San Antonio and housing, affordable housing. What's the connection? What do you see in your neighborhood? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about affordable housing in San Antonio. The City Council, City Hall is trying to come up with solutions. I can't make sense of what's going on. It's always like a different day, a different story. Everything's always changing.
Yeah.
We need some clarity about what exactly is the city proposing to do, and what do advocates want to see happening, and what do we think is going to work? Call in with your questions and comments, 210-614-8980. But first, let's get to the phones. Doug, you've been hanging on a long time. I appreciate that. Doug, go ahead. You're on the air.
I've had the pleasure of living my brief year here all around parts of the city, but I was born and raised on the south side. I have a lot of older family still residing on the south side. And with the incoming, or with the housing shortage and with the increasing price of property values, some of the elderly folks down here are kind of getting priced out of their homes that they've been in for the past 40, 50 years. And I just see this vicious gentrification going on. Is there any plans on maybe trying to curb that? I'll be glad to take the question off here.
All right, that's a great comment. So, and Navarre, did you want to add?
Yes. Well, we had a very successful senior homeless prevention program funded by some wealthy donors. They've given us $1 million over 3 years to work with the community, and we had probably around 20 partners. And like this gentleman said, if someone, you know, their house became inhabitable, like the bathroom blew up, or, you know, their air conditioning system or the heater.
The roof.
Well, we occasionally would do a roof, but we did more replacement of things inside the home to help. We also provided food. We provided diapers. We provided supplies. We provided anything that they needed so that they would at least get their food and not, you know, cut back on their food because they had this one-time situation. And again, that program had the same sort of success rates, you know, 97-96% of those seniors being able to stay in their homes after 18 months. But those funds are gone now.
Well, and our senior population is sort of exploding in San Antonio. It's called the Silver Tsunami, which is both giggle-inducing and real. In the next decade, right, people aged 60 to 74, we're going to see an 82% increase in that population. For people 75-plus, that growth becomes 105%. So we're seeing sort of a very large population very clearly having challenges in keeping in their homes. And there's a collaborative working group out of the San Antonio Area Foundation called the Successfully Aging and Living in San Antonio, or SALSA initiative, which includes people who are doing affordable housing like a Habitat or Navarre with SAM Ministries, all the way to transportation and family services and human development. So it's a multi-sector approach at how are we working with our seniors to keep them in their homes.
And aging in place.
That's right.
So they don't have to go to our underfunded public nursing homes.
That's exactly right. Keep them in their homes.
So that they can live, you know, where they want to live.
That's right.
But Stephanie Weiss with Habitat for Humanity San Antonio, is this the population that y'all interact with?
Absolutely. You know, Habitat really looks at the long-term use of our homes, and we do a lot to make sure that families that move into those homes will age in place. We build according to universal design. So we do a lot to make sure that there's one no-step entry into the house. A wheelchair can navigate, whether it's a family member, a current family member, or something they're going to need in the future. So we do try to build our affordable homes knowing that the families aren't going to necessarily look the way they look when they move in, and that their life changes, all of our life changes. So we do a lot to be able to have that be a place that they'll be able to own forever. The Torres family was our very first family. They've now been in their home for 41 years, and they paid their home off several years ago, but they are still in their house. They were a young couple when they moved in. They've now had some significant medical problems, but they are still able to stay in their home because it's a one-story, you know, a house they can live in forever. So we do really try to look at that.
But I have to wonder about the role that San Antonio, the city of San Antonio, like code enforcement plays in something like this. So we have the code, as we call them on the streets, you know, hey, the code's coming. You better get your house in shape, mow your grass. And so, but, you know, if they come by and they see that you've got a roof problem and maybe your house is off the foundation or whatever, how are they going to deal with that? If they're going to say, you can't live here anymore, or what's a comprehensive, compassionate way of approaching that, Molly?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I had the answer to that. The only thing that I can continue to tell you is, if we are counting success for code enforcement officers by how many times we pass out a citation, then we're doing it wrong, right? Like, if our job in the city of San Antonio, as we have stated in our community vision, so if we are supposed to be the type of city that says everyone should be able to afford their home, everyone should have access to quality education, then instead of counting our success by how many citations we give out, we start counting our success in how we can keep you in your home, how we are not displacing, which is why I really appreciate the fact that even though we know that it's a safety net feature of $1 million, with this displacement fund, we also know that it's something that we're actually looking at, which is very different, right? So the idea that we use words like gentrification and don't think about mixed income neighborhoods as being very, very important to our community, it's, we don't want people displaced from their homes. We want them to successfully age in their homes.
Sure. And there are plenty of organizations, faith-based groups, summer break type college kids who do want to go into neighborhoods and help families get their houses up to code.
Sure.
We just need to make people need to make those connections.
Absolutely.
And so how do we do that?
Yeah, I mean, even SAWS has programs for people who may be having challenges in their own homes, right? SAWS will tell you that they are in the business of reducing poverty, and they say that they do that by helping people when they have plumbing problems. CPS Energy does the same thing, right? So why aren't we sort of doing these wraparound services all the time for every person and responding more specifically to community needs?
All right, so let's go back to the phones with Wayne. Wayne, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Go ahead, Wayne.
Yes, I've listened to the conversation closely, and I've heard several things that sound great, but I have not heard anybody address the tax issue. The scenario I ran into was I recently purchased a home in San Antonio in the Delcrest area. It improved the community. It's an east side community. It needs improvement. It needs investment. So I made the decision to buy on this side. Been in the home for 3 years, and I recently received our tax statement, and it showed the value of the home had doubled. The tax liability of the home has doubled. 3 years prior, it was $65,000. Currently, it's like $140,000. So it's kind of disturbing to know that just a few years ago, before I'm buying a home, the property tax appraised value was significantly less, as opposed to when you put a warm body in it. It increased it double, and without any kind of notice or so. So you see a dramatic change in your mortgage causing a little bit of distress within your family.
So Wayne, are you going to be able to deal with that? Is that going to be a crunch on your budget?
I'm able to deal with it because I'm fortunate enough. We have a good job. We're stable in that manner right there. But it does put a strain on your future planning. Like, let's say you want to put your kids in college, or you want to make investments in vehicles and spend more in the community. You really can't do that when you see such dramatic changes from appraisal to appraisal.
Got it. Wayne, thank you for the call. There is a proposal that former city council member, now state representative Diego Bernal, has put forth, talking about freezing certain property taxes and for homes. Do anyone know? Do you know the details?
I don't know the specific details of it, and I'm happy that you mentioned that. When I was also going to say, you know, most recently the city council approved a contract that will conduct a comprehensive study of the Bexar County appraisal district, right? How it goes about setting values, how it handles challenges to their values and appraisals, and how it actually compares in other spaces as well. So that's also occurring locally.
And so, Stephanie Weiss, with the Habitat for Humanity, what about, you know, the property taxes that your, you know, members have to pay? Do they get a sticker shock?
Habitat's in a little bit of a different class. We have a state legislated cap in that the property taxes basically stay fairly level for our families. And I don't know the specifics about it, but families can't use our houses as comps to their houses because ours were done with sweat equity and have a totally different system in place than if a for-profit builder were to go in. So can't really talk to that specifically. I don't have the details in front of me.
All right, another caller, and this is Dana. Dana, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm Dana. So I work for Texas Health and Human Services Commission. And basically what we have is called the Department of Aging and Disability Services for clients that fall under the income and resource guidelines, which are pretty low. So what we try to do with the state is try and keep our clients as independent as possible. So we will do things like build wheelchair ramps for free for clients who have steps to get into their house, we'll widen up hallways, we'll lower countertops if they're wheelchair, if they are currently in wheelchairs. We can also help with fixing roof leaks and foundation problems. The reason that we have these programs is because our clients in San Antonio, if they are lower income, they tend to want to stay in their home. The last thing that they want to do is go into a nursing home, because once they're in a nursing home, they fail to thrive. So the state tries to find money so that they can do home repairs so that the client can be as independent as possible, because usually when our clients feel that they can maintain their independence, they tend to thrive. So we can also offer, like, if they fall under the income and resource guidelines, a caseworker would come in, they could see if they can get them Meals on Wheels delivered, lunches every day during the week, and they can also take them to and from doctor's appointments if they're no longer able to drive. They also do welfare checks, and they can actually, if they do qualify, have a provider come and assist them around the house on small things that they might not be able to do, such as maybe laundry or washing dishes or things that might take up too much of their energy. So there are so many programs out there that people are not aware of. And
so we're quickly running out of time. How do people begin the process of accessing these services?
They would just contact Texas Health and Human Services or come into their local Texas Health and Human Services office. We can give them a number where a caseworker can go and do an interview at their house and test them for all the programs that they might be eligible for.
Dana from the Texas Health and Human Services, thank you so much for calling in and giving us that information. We're going to take a break, come back, talk some more about affordable housing in San Antonio, 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about affordable housing in San Antonio, and we have a voicemail from Tony.
My name is Tony. I'm disabled. And because of my disability, I've had to live in subsidized housing. And, you know, the places were not meant to be fancy. They were just meant to be just a place to live. But the difficulty is that you have some people in the program that shouldn't be there. They make it difficult for other people to live there safely and peacefully. They tear up the place. They destroy property. They commit crime. And they have the police running in and out. And instead of getting rid of the people, the places just change names of the places. They fix the place all up, but they don't do anything about the cause.
All right. So that was Tony in our voicemail. And he's dependent on affordable housing, subsidized housing. Yet sometimes there's unsavory elements that get folded in. And this, unfortunately, is what only thing a lot of people see, and sometimes makes it difficult to advocate for providing these types of services. So Molly Cox from SA 2020, how do we strike that balance?
Yeah, I mean, I think we see that a lot of the time in San Antonio, this idea of like not in my backyard, or right, we look at subsidized housing or affordable housing as something that we don't necessarily want in our own community. And then we sit back and say, but the ripple effect of not providing affordable housing goes far beyond just housing. It's about economic development, right? If we cannot afford our homes and we are seeing our underserved, so our underemployment rate has consistently increased in our community, meaning people are working full-time and still living in poverty. We see a city that is divided not only or segregated not only by income, but by race in many cases. And the idea that we keep not having a conversation around mixed income housing is part of our challenge.
But we say it's divided by income, but also when you do all the overlays of all the other issues in San Antonio, it's divided by education access and by opportunity availability and all these other things.
Absolutely.
They are all sync up.
They are all the same. Yes.
All right. Another caller, and this is Mimi. And hi, Mimi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I lost my job 2 years ago. The company that I was working for laid off a lot of people. But I'm 55 years old. I'm not a senior yet, but I'm getting there. But I lost. I eventually got evicted from my house, and I was not able to find anything affordable that I could afford on a $10 pay rate. And I had to find three jobs, just to being able to rent a house or an apartment for myself.
And so what are you doing right now, Mimi?
Well, right now I'm renting a little house on the south side, but it's on the $815. And I have to work three jobs just to being able to pay for that. And I'm now going to be 56. What is the age where, you know, I'd be able to get all these benefits? Or will we get that help, or I need to be 65?
All right, Mimi, thank you for the call. So her story is similar to many, many people. You know, we reach the end of our working life. We find out that we don't have the resources to pay for where we live, and we have no options, pretty much. What to do? What can you tell Mimi and people like her?
Yeah, I mean, that's the unfortunate part, right, is that Mimi's story is we hear these stories again and again and again. And I think it's technically, right, why the city of San Antonio began very specifically looking at affordable housing now, and which, of course, comes from decades and decades of, right, challenges, and now we're finally sort of putting our money where our mouths are. It also goes all the way up to state and federal, right? So we can sort of parcel out the idea that the property taxes in San Antonio are increasing, and we are also seeing that nearly 50% of our property taxes go to education. So if our state, right, legislature is actually picking up a higher burden of our education, then we could potentially see some relief in property tax. To Mimi's point, the idea that, like, I cannot find a house that I can afford is exactly what we are sort of collaboratively working on now, multiple agencies across the spectrum saying, we know, we see it, how can we make it happen?
Even in neighborhoods where are not, you know, it's not the Dominion or whatever. These are traditional San Antonio neighborhoods that are kind of off the beaten path, and used to be that's where you could go live and you'll be okay.
Yeah. And no.
Right? Not anymore.
No.
Because the resources, the development, the investment, it's all over.
Yeah, we are increasing our development across the city. We are growing our population by about 66 people every single day, right? We're expected to more than double our population over the course of the next 20 years. And what we're starting to find out is that our incomes are not keeping up with costs of housing. And until we actually say, as a community, this has to stop, we have to together figure this out, whether you live in a house that you can afford or and you feel like this is not your burden to bear, we're saying that the ripple effects across the board will happen to everyone, whether you're in a house you can afford or not.
All right, I want to go to another caller. Monica. Hi, Monica. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My name is Monica, and I am a member of a local coalition that just started as a result of the mayor's task force. We are the San Antonio Housing Oversight Coalition. We're just a very emerging coalition of concerned organizations and individuals that are really wanting to ensure that the mayor's policy task force recommendations are implemented. And so one of the things that we've brought, we've written to council members and the housing commission and the mayor and the city manager about are concerned that we are behind as far as the timeline in that report with hiring a housing executive. The recommendation came forth that we needed to hire somebody within the city who would really oversee the coordination of housing programs across the city and the county. And that's just so important based on what we've heard already with all of the different programs that are available. I don't think people really know where to go. So that's of a particular urgency that I think we have as far as our coalition has highlighted. The other thing that we have highlighted is our concern for the fact that, you know, Habitat for Humanity just mentioned the fact that they take advantage of some incentives and some waivers for development of housing. We know that the city offers lots of incentives for
development in the inner city, the C-CHIP program. However, what our concern has been is that we continue to see housing being built that is more at like 80 or 120% AMI and not the 60% AMI that the Mayor's Policy Task Force recommended. So that's a great concern that the city is foregoing lots of fees that could go into our, you know, our revenue at the same time on one hand, and on the other hand, we, the taxpayers, are also putting some of our budget dollars aside for the risk mitigation fund of $1 million, which we don't even see as enough money. We had one case in District 10 that was highlighted recently where 30 or 40 families were displaced and already dug into that $1 million of, it was $200,000 or $300,000 just on one property alone of families that were displaced. So $1 million is really pennies, I think, compared to the amount of incentives that the city's offering for development at, you know, at housing development at AMI.
Right. So real quick, I got a real quick question for you, Monica. Is this a problem, do you think, San Antonio can build its way out of? Was this a shortage of housing stock, or what is the situation? What's the solution?
Well, I think that the situation is multifaceted and complicated, but I think that we have to be really strong with regards to our policy and our incentives and really figure out, you know, where we are really trying to offer the affordable housing that the Mayor's Task Force recommended. And we just keep seeing development that's above even the recommendations. A lot of work was put into that. A lot of minds brought together said this is what we need. And I'm just not sure that the 60% AMI, the demand for that is being met.
All right, Monica, thank you for the call. And so let me give that question to you, Navarro Williams. Do you think this is something that San Antonio can build its way out of, create more housing stock, supply and demand, give us more supply?
I think it's going to be very challenging and very difficult when you're looking at a lot of the development is significantly above 60% area median income. It, you know, there's a lot of displacement that's going on. If you look at downtown, I mean, if you were here 10 years ago, downtown looks entirely different.
10 years from now, with right. UTSA going to, with its $200 million expansion yeah. plan, that's yeah. going to be.
So I think there's a lot of displacement going on. I think unless there are some opportunities to do what this young lady suggested, to take advantage of some of these things, it's going to be very difficult.
And so Molly Cox, yeah. Can we build our way out of this?
Well, to go back to sort of this point, right, there's people who are making minimum wage right now. We know that right now there is a 32,000 housing unit shortage for people who are making minimum wage. We don't have the housing stock for that group of people, right? So there is a space around building. But I would also say, like, to Monica, like, I was snapping, but you can't see me snapping at you because I was on a microphone. But she is exactly the type of person, right, that can help us keep this at the forefront, right? The idea that a lot of these programs that we're talking about depend on the support of organizations that are working in this space, as well as our own residents saying, this is a crisis. We need this to happen, right? So somebody like Monica and her, the collaboration that she's working with, people like Cops Metro, people like who are showing up at these spaces and saying, we cannot wait anymore, is so important. So continuing to sort of raise this as an issue that needs to be tackled and not just talked about or studied, right? We know it's a challenge. It's something that SA 2020 has been raising for almost 4 years, saying it now.
Right. So, and snapping's like applauding for
like
big dicks.
Yeah, like snaps.
Okay.
Translation there.
I need that. I don't know. I'm too nerdy. I don't know these things. But this, okay, so, but to the issue, this is something that's going to be at the forefront, it seems like, in this city council election.
Yes.
People are demanding accountability. They're demanding answers and no more just happy talk about dealing with these issues.
Absolutely.
All right. So, and also I want to thank our guest, Stephanie Weiss, the Vice President for Habitat for Humanity San Antonio, Navarro Williams, President and CEO of SAM Ministries, Molly Cox, President and CEO of SA 2020. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.